Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying video, I have brought along two friends of mine that join us around the campfire. We have Booze and Booze and Papa Scare. If you like their narrations, their information will be in the description box down below. Now, get settled in around that campfire because we're about to cook up some s'mores. Let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I've always loved campfires. It doesn't matter what is going on or what the setting is. The feeling of sitting around a campfire in the middle of nature with your friends gathered around you as you make s'mores or tell stories is like no other. So when I went camping with my friends one weekend last year, there was no doubt we'd be having a campfire and roasting some marshmallows. So I packed up my gear and waited for the date of our departure to arrive, which it did. Right on schedule, my friend Jake picked me up at my apartment building. Once my bags were in his car, we headed to our destination, which was a new area he had picked out after checking with his dad. Our friend Bo has a camper that we'd always used to camp, and we all loved it. We got there and it was beautiful. Tall, majestic pine trees everywhere you looked. A cozy pond filled with algae located within a mile of our campsite. An atmosphere that just made you feel refreshed and alive. Our friends Zach, Aiden, and Bo were already there, and Bo's camper was all set up for us. So once Jake and I got settled, I sipped a bottle of water and enjoyed the view while I took a brief hike around. We were the only people in the area, so we had the place to ourselves. While I was walking around, I was also making notes about what to use for our campfire. I had already brought my usual stuff for starting a fire, so that wasn't a problem. I never know what might be available, so I always bring some stuff from my local camping store to start the fire and get it going. But I can't really bring that much firewood with me, so I usually have to find some local place that sells it or something. Once I got back to the campsite, it was agreed that Bo, Aiden, and I would go into town and get a pizza for us to eat. Then we hopped in Zach's Jeep and headed for the nearest town. It was a cozy but reasonable-sized place with all the usual features. A hardware store, gas station, grocery store, and the usual variety of restaurants. While Bo and Aiden were at the pizza place, I headed across the street to the hardware store in search of some firewood. It was quiet. I was the only customer there, and the counter was staffed by a guy about my age who was dressed in a t-shirt and jeans. "Hello, how may I help you?" He greeted me with a smile. "Hi, I was wondering about some firewood for camping." "Ah, I get you. I'm sorry to say that we're fresh out, but I know where you could get some. My neighbor just had to clear a bunch of trees off his property, and he's got more firewood left over than he knows what to do with. Just go on over, give him a ring, and tell him Toby sent you." He then wrote down the address and gave it to me. It was right on the way back to our campsite, so that was even better. "Thank you so much," I said as I pocketed the address. "No problem, he can't wait to get rid of it, so you'd be doing him a favor. Like the camp, huh?" "Love it. Gotta have a fire too." Of course. He nodded with a smile. Well, you enjoy yourself and come back if you need anything else. Will do. Thank you so much. With that, I left the hardware store, walked back to Zack's Jeep, and told them what I had found out. They happily agreed to stop by on the way back to camp. We arrived at Toby's neighbor's house 10 minutes later. It was a beautiful little cabin in the woods with a comfortable front porch and a great view of the road. And, as advertised, there was a massive amount of firewood lying around in thick rows. I got out of the Jeep, walked up to the front door, and gently knocked. An older gentleman with bright blue eyes answered it. "Hi, I'm here for some firewood. Toby said to let you know he told me to come by."
"Ah, yes." He clapped his hands together and smiled at me. "He just told me he sent someone my way. Right this way, my friend."
He quickly led me to the firewood that seemed to take up half the yard.
"We had a nasty storm a few months ago that uprooted a bunch of trees. It was a miracle that none of them crashed right onto the house. It took forever to make it manageable, but here's what's left. Help yourself to them. Do you need a hand?"
"No, thank you. I think we have it under control." I nodded to my friends in the Jeep.
"All right. Well, you all help yourself to as much as you want. Truth be told, I'm sorry that all those trees got uprooted or broken in the storm. I'd never seen anything like this before. They look just like any other tree, but they burn just a little bit different. I can't really explain it. Probably because I grew up with them or something."
"I understand."
"Well, you all have a good time. Come back if you run out and need more."
"We will. Thank you so much." I shook his hand before the three of us loaded a ton of firewood into the back of the Jeep. Once it was full, we drove back to camp, had a pizza, which was delicious, and relaxed for a bit. Then it was campfire time. The others sat back and let me set it up, as they knew I loved it. Once it was done, we all relaxed and let the soothing, warm, flickering light settle into the air. Before too long, the fire was steadily consuming the firewood I'd brought with us, and it was time to use what I'd gotten from Toby's neighbor. It took some time, but I eventually began to see what he meant. It seemed like any old firewood, but it burned just a little bit different. There was a bit more heat and brightness to the fire, but that could be because it had aged or any number of other reasons. Either way, with the fire in full swing and the dinner behind us, it was s'more time. That was another thing I'd always brought supplies for on camping trips. Once I passed out the metal skewers to put the marshmallows on, and the chocolate bars and graham crackers had been opened, we took turns roasting the marshmallows over the fire, which crackled happily in front of us. It was beyond calming. Once we all had our fill of s'mores, all that was left was to relax, talk, and enjoy each other's company around the fire. It was one of my favorite parts of the whole camping experience. The atmosphere was calm, mellow, and invigorating. We talked about nothing in particular, but we quickly passed the time, and before long, darkness had completely fallen, and the moon peered out at us from behind a dense cluster of pine trees. It wasn't long before, one by one, my friends said goodnight and went inside the camper to grab a place to sleep. As usual, I was the last awake and quietly sat by the fire. By now, the fire quietly burned away, not quite as big as before, but still going strong. I'm not sure how late it was, but it was getting late. I was just about to start heading to bed when I turned my head and the fire popped. Not loud, but enough that it caught my attention. Then I turned my head slightly and noticed something. I thought I could see something in the fire. At first, I thought it was just my eyes or something had fallen in the fire, but no. it was something else. There were shapes moving within the flames, making images like a movie on a screen, except it was in the fire. I sat there, unsure of what to think or do, so I sat there, quietly observing in my chair. At first, I had no idea what I was looking at. The shapes were just blurs at first, vague outlines. But then they became...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Came clearer, and I realized it was the five of us. We were riding in the Jeep, going steadily along one of the roads we had come down on the way to the campsite. Then Zach turned down a road I had never seen before and came to an intersection. As he did, you could see there was a nasty accident that occurred there, and we had to be detoured around it. Then the images stopped dancing in the flames, and the fire returned to normal, burning low over the coals. I sat there stunned, unsure of what to think. Had I fallen asleep while sitting here? Or was it just my imagination? I chalked it up to fatigue, tossed one more last piece of firewood onto the fire, and went inside the camper to grab some sleep. Once I rolled my sleeping bag out onto the floor and got comfortable, I managed to sleep okay and woke up to sunlight streaming through the camper's windows. The others were stretching as they woke up, and they gradually made their way to the remnants of the fire, which had burned down enough so that only faint puffs of smoke drifted overhead. When they saw that I was up, Jake and Zach took out the stuff to make breakfast. And before too long, we were eating biscuits and scrambled eggs in front of what was left of the fire. Once I had finished eating, I tossed some logs on top of the smoldering remnants of the campfire in the hopes that given enough time, it would ignite again. Once that was done, we all got ready to head to the nearby park for a hike and headed out soon after. As usual, Zach drove. We were halfway there when Zach said something, turned the Jeep, and headed down a road that seemed vaguely familiar. Then, a moment later, the Jeep stopped at an intersection, and we could all just make out that there had been an accident and that they were detouring traffic down a side road. My stomach clenched at the sight. How was this possible? It couldn't be a coincidence or my imagination. I briefly wondered if there had been something inside the firewood that caused hallucinations, but that didn't explain this. I did my best to shrug it off as Zach kept driving, and we arrived at our hiking destination. The sight made it easy, as it was beautiful. Lots of tall boulders and canyons overlooking a quarry filled with water. So we all started walking and took in the area. It was an amazing hike. We went back to the camper, had plenty of water, and relaxed in front of the fire, which had returned to life and was crackling away. After that hike, our appetites returned with a vengeance, so Bo and I went in the town and got some sandwiches from a local deli. We returned with them and some potato chips and pasta salad, and everyone ate heartily. Then we went inside the camper and watched a few movies until it was time for dinner. Dinner consisted of spaghetti with tomato sauce and garlic bread followed by s'mores. We all had our fill until we all sat contently around the fire, which burned with a calm brightness that was beyond pleasant to sit around. And just like last night, one by one, my friends went to the camper to sleep until I was the only one left awake. I sat there, feeling more than a little uneasy as I stared at the fire, wondering what it would do or if it would do anything. It felt like I was daring it to do something, anything, as it was just the two of us alone in the middle of nature. After what felt like an eternity, the fire sizzled, and I saw shadows forming in the depths of the flames. I sat there, stunned by what I was witnessing. Because after a moment, the shadows became clear. And just like last time, I was watching a scene unfold like a movie projected from within the fire. Several dark figures were watching a camper in the middle of the woods. They were dressed in all black and had on ski masks and leather gloves. I realized with a sickening lurch in my stomach they were watching our camper. Then, I watched as they got closer to the camper and waited outside just beyond the front door. For what they were waiting for, or what exactly they were up to, I had no idea, but I knew it wasn't good. I watched as the people lurking outside the camper held up a phone to do something. And Bo peeked his head out, clearly unsure of what was happening. Right when this happened, the people waited outside rushed him and forced their way into the camper. That was when the shapes were reduced to shadows before they faded away, and the fire returned to normal. I was stunned by what I had seen. Despite the heat from the fire, chills ran up my spine and I felt beyond isolated out here in the woods. Were there really people out there watching us? It didn't take me long to go to bed quickly after that, as I felt beyond uneasy outside now. So I went inside and laid down in my spot like last time. But this time, sleep was out of the question. I laid there, listening to the others contently sleeping, and I felt so alone and unsure of what to think. I was tense and uneasy, listening to every sound or even the hint of something. After what seemed like forever, I heard the faint sounds of grass rustling outside before I heard what sounded like a dog barking. Fear shot through my body like nothing I'd have ever experienced before. I knew deep down that was no dog. After a moment, I heard it again. That was when Bo woke up and sat upright on the couch he had been sleeping on. "What?" he mumbled, still partially asleep. "What's going on?" "Shh," I whispered. "I think someone is outside." That woke him up. Bo quietly crept over to me and leaned over so we could talk. "I thought I heard the sound of someone outside, and that isn't a dog." "Right," he nodded. "There's no way I'm opening that door." Then he quietly went over to the kitchen, grabbed a knife, and held it close to him. Then he called the local authorities and made sure to whisper so no one knew what was going on. We sat like that for what seemed like hours until finally it became lighter and sunlight faintly started to peer through the windows. By then, we heard the sounds of police cruisers, and from the windows in the kitchen, we could see it was the cops. I had never felt so relieved in my life as we saw them arrive. Bo and I stepped outside to talk to the two officers, and I explained what happened. They listened, agreed to check the area out, and praised us for our quick thinking. As we told our story, morning dawned, bright and vivid. Then they took down our contact information and told us to go inside and get some sleep. We happily agreed. As Bo and I went back inside, the other three were slowly waking up and we had to explain to them what had happened. They agreed that it had been suspicious and said that they would keep watch so that Bo and I could try to get some sleep. We managed to get some, and when the cops returned, they told us they hadn't found anything aside from some footprints by the camper. But they promised to be on the lookout for any suspicious activity in the area. After we thanked them, we got ready to leave because it was a weekend camping trip, and we all had to get back to our lives. Once Bo loaded up the camper and got everything ready to go, we got back into Jake's car and we headed home. I never did tell them what I saw in the fire. We went on plenty more camping trips, or just hung out outside around a fire after that. And I'd use the firewood we had gotten. But I never once saw images in the fire again.
About a year ago, I moved my family and I to a home way out in the woods in Tennessee. I want to be brief here, but I need to get this off my chest. After looking into the matter a little more, I have a lot more details I think will paint a clear picture, so just bear with me. The nights here can be extremely loud, between crickets and the tree frogs and the cicadas. It can almost be deafening. One night, not too long after we moved in, I had forgotten something in my car and headed outside to get it. The first thing that struck me as odd was that my dog would not go outside with me. My dog goes everywhere with me.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm her whole world. But on this night, as I held the door open, she looked out, then looked at me and was like, "Nope." So I walked out and shut the door behind me. The second thing that caught me off guard was there was not a peep outside. It was dead silent. I still shrugged this off and walked down my front steps and headed down to my car. When I gotten about 10 feet from my car, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. It felt as if something was watching me. I looked around but saw nothing. After I reached for my car for what I had forgotten to grab earlier, I had this feeling like something was moving towards me. I took a step back and checked out all around me. Then all of a sudden, I heard one of the hedges rattle that lined our walkway. At first, I thought it was a rabbit that I had spooked or something, as I'd just seen one earlier in the day right where this was. A few seconds later, I heard the sound of a large rock landing a few feet away from me. It hit the walkway and bounced into a shrub nearby. I drew my gun and called out, "Whoever that was, you're about to be shot." After a few seconds of nothing, I began to think, and maybe this was some local teenagers just messing with the new people. I holstered my sidearm, turned, and started walking back towards my front door. Almost as soon as I turned towards my house, I heard this deep panting sound. It sounded like a huge dog. But what made me really note back to my front door was that it sounded like it was right behind me. I leaped up right onto my front porch, drew my gun once again, expecting it to be right behind me, but there was nothing. A couple weeks later, I was on my porch at night, sitting on our bench with my wife. She got up and walked around to get something inside, and as soon as she shut the door, I heard that same panting sound again. I couldn't see anything, yet it sounded like it was right on top of me. The sound was coming from everywhere, and it was very loud. Again, I couldn't see anything, so I note back into the house. Now, at this point, I was questioning moving here, but after nothing else really happened, I let it go. A month or so later, it was really rainy and stormy. This was around 9 p.m. My wife and I enjoy listening to the rain and talking about how relaxing the rain is. I grew up in Oregon, so I really love the rain, and for the past 10 years we've lived in Vegas where it would dump the entire year of rain in one day, then be bone dry for the rest of the year. My wife grew up in Nevada, so rain was again a rare thing, so she loved going outside and just watching it. So for both of us, it was an enjoyable experience. Except this night in particular, things took a weird turn. As we were sitting there talking about the rain and relaxing, my wife stops me and said, "Did you hear that?" I said, "No, what did you hear?" She said, "I swear, it sounded like a small child calling out for help in the woods." I said, "No, I didn't hear anything." After a few moments of us listening intently, she said, "There it is again." I said, I don't hear anything, sweetie. Are you sure you're not just hearing things?" She looked at me offended and said, "No, I am positive. How could you not hear that? It sounds like our son. I think he's out there and got lost." "No, he's in the house sleeping on the couch." We both got up and looked through the blinds that were open right behind us, and we could see all of our children lying there. It's so weird. I swore it sounded like our son. It isn't him. He's right there. Besides, again, I don't hear anything. She stood up and said, "Wow, he's really crying out for help. I need to go look for him." Now at this point, if you knew my wife, you would know she is absolutely creeped out by the woods and wouldn't be caught walking into them during the daylight, much less at night during a storm. I grabbed her hand and said, "I have been listening the whole time. There's absolutely nobody out there calling for help. You need to stay here." Getting worried about her, she was acting completely out of character. Not to mention at this time, she is 8 months pregnant with our baby daughter. She then says, "Well, what if there's some child out there lost in the woods?" First off, I would be able to hear them too. Secondly, there are no other kids around here for miles, and the odds of them being lost 100 feet from our house that's completely lit up like a Christmas tree is nil. She then says, "I know, but what if it's a kid?" Before I could say anything else, she stands up and starts walking towards the stairs. Jumped up and grabbed her hand again, saying, "No, get in the house. I don't know what's going on with you, but you need to go inside." She finally complies, and we both go inside. I don't know what that was, but I was completely freaked out. A few months pass after that event. It was getting dark outside, and I heard the front door to our house open up, so I got up to investigate. We have autistic 6-year-old twins, and we have the door set up so they can't open it without us there. So to hear the sound, it could only be my wife. What was weird was the fact that she normally doesn't go outside without saying something to me. So I walked up front, saw my wife walking down our private road towards the drive on the side of our house. I asked her what she was doing, and she said she was sitting on the back patio and kept hearing a baby crying out in the woods. Told her, "Seriously? You just decided to walk off into the woods to investigate that?" She then looks out into the woods and says, "See, there it is again." Again, I can't hear anything. But what I did notice is that silence was back. I told her just like before, the chances of a baby being out in the woods outside of her house is slim to none, and she needed to get back in the house. At this point, I was really starting to worry about my wife's mental health. I actually asked her to see a psychiatrist, and she thankfully did. Now looking back, I really feel bad, knowing what I know now. A key to this moment was that my wife had just given birth to a baby girl a month before. A few days after this, we were out on the front porch again. It's early evening, and I had just mowed the lawn. Our 3-year-old son was riding around in his little car in front of the house. Now he knows he's not allowed to be outside of a certain area that we mapped off, but he loves playing outside. The road being 50 feet from our front porch, we have to be as careful as we possibly can. As we're talking, we're both keeping an eye on him. A neighbor drives by and stops to say hi for a second. This interaction only took approximately maybe 8 seconds, as all they said was, "How are things?" We said, "Good." He told us he would stop by later if his wife got something for the kids. We said, "Okay, great," and he drove off. I looked over where our son had just was, and he was gone. I called out to him, called out his name, and I could hear his car on our side drive. I then scolded him for leaving the area, and he said something in his 3-year-old gibberish and pointed to the woods behind our house. I said, "You got 5 seconds to get back up to the front of the house, or else." He adamantly pointed in the direction of the woods and kept trying to tell me something. I looked off in the direction of the woods, just assumed he saw a deer or a squirrel or something, and maybe he wanted to see it up close. I walked him back up to the front, and he cried the whole way there. He got really upset that I just wouldn't let him walk off into the woods. I just wrote this off as him being a curious little 3-year-old. Now this instance isn't isolated, as our twins have done something similar, but nothing quite as extreme. There have been nights where I just laid down for the night and heard a loud bang outside on the house, on the wall behind our bed. It was so loud that I jumped up and looked out the window. Our floodlight had come on, but I could see nothing. Now the weird part about this is our bedroom sits about 12 feet from the ground level. That's a full-size basement that's cinder block. I put on my slippers and grabbed one of my 12-gauge shotguns and walked out to investigate. Dead silence again. The floodlight that's on the side of our house had clicked off at this point. So I walked over to the end of the deck and shined my light around the yard. Nothing. I walked around the house and shined the light around intently. As I approached the back side of my house, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Feeling of someone watching me was back. I shined the light up in the trees, but again, nothing. I rounded the corner And the first thing I noticed was that three of my dogs in the area weren't making a peep. Now, our dogs have no filter. We'll bark at anyone and everyone. This includes me. So to see all of them hiding with their tails between their legs, not making a peep, really worried me. I kept walking, and all of a sudden, the crickets and frogs and everything else started making sounds again. As if someone just flipped a switch. I walked back into the house and told my wife that I didn't see anything. She shrugged and just said, as long as our dogs are okay. Due to those circumstances that night, I decided to let the dogs in and sleep with us. This very same thing has happened on all four of our exterior walls. It's random and annoying, but just like this instance, every time, I find nothing going on outside. There's also been times where my wife and I will just be sitting and watching a movie or something. My wife walked over and said, "Did you call me?" I would respond and tell her no. And she kept claiming and swearing she heard me call her name in her ear, saying that it was definitely my voice, but didn't understand because it sounded so close, and I was a good 20 feet away from her in my recliner. The important part to this was she was sitting at the table doing something, and the slider to the backyard was open behind her. Now, our back patio sits about 20 feet off the ground. It's like a balcony. It has no stair access outside. I think the previous owner built it for barbecuing. There have been several instances where she said she heard someone whisper in her ear, but couldn't make out the sound.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Again, I just chalked it up to thinking she's going crazy. But you'll see, I think all of this tied into the final moment, where things are all revealed. The last thing I want to mention before we get into what just happened is that I have a shooting range built behind my workshop, on the opposite side of our property, next to the main road. It's kind of on a downslope, but works perfectly for what I need it for. The range itself is cut straight into the woods, going down about 100 yards or so. When you're at the downrange, you have the woods surrounding you on all sides except for back up to my shop. I have to say it always felt creepy when I'm dealing with my targets or mowing. When you're down there, it feels like you're miles from anyone. One day, around 5 in the evening, I was sighting a new rifle scope, and the sun was still up but was starting to fade, so I knew this was going to be the final test. Up until this point, nothing really happened while I was making multiple trips downrange other than this feeling of uneasiness. As I got downrange, I kept getting this feeling like someone or something was watching me. I looked around but didn't see anything. As I was placing stickers over my previous shots, I heard something off to the side of me. It sounded like a large branch had snapped off a tree. Now, if you've been in Tennessee woods, you will know that there's a lot of branches that fall off trees randomly out of nowhere. So this is nothing new. Except this time, it was very loud and sounded like fresh, strong wood. If that makes any sense. I turned and looked but didn't see anything. I started walking back up to my rifle and I swear I heard someone right behind me. I quickly turned but again, nothing. As I started to walk back again, I heard this deep growl. It was really deep and loud, and what's worse is it was all around me. I turned around to face the range and started walking backwards. The thought of some rabid dog charging out of the bushes had freaked me out. So running was not a good idea. I slowly walked backwards up the hill to my rifle, and nothing happened. I quickly grabbed it, sprayed the target with rapid fire, hoping to scare off whatever was stalking me. I left 10 rounds in the mag, grabbed my rifle bag, and quickly walked back up to the house. I never told my wife about this because I didn't want to freak her out. Fast forward about a year later, from when we'd moved in, and my niece is staying with us as a live-in nanny to earn money over her summer break from college. We were on our way back from the store, about a mile from our house, and I saw two eyes reflecting in the headlights coming from a wide tree on the other side of the road just ahead of us. It had caught my attention because they were higher than a deer, but a different color and size. Just as I said out loud, "What is that?" they squinted and vanished. I made the comment that it was almost if they knew I could see them and moved. The color itself was kind of a golden green, but they resembled the mannerism of a large cat, as they felt very ominous. It's tough to explain, but I shrugged it off as we were passing the tree and saw nothing more. A few moments later, we arrived back at our house. As we were getting the bags out of the car, my 3-year-old son came bolting out of the house, excited to see me. As I was waiting to help carry in the bags, I heard my dog start growling. I looked in the direction she was looking at my neighbor's property across the street. Now, what I saw has kept me up all night. Up until this point, I've always been skeptical, as I had never actually seen anything with my own two eyes. Even with what had happened to me the year prior, I still had doubts that it was just my mind playing tricks on me. My street is kind of spread out, like a neighborhood. Each house sits on several acres, and at the end of the road is Kentucky Lake. My neighbor's house sits adjacent to my house on about an acre lot. Directly in front of my house is a wall of woods, and directly behind my house is several thousand acres of untouched forest. As I was looking across the street to my neighbor's property, I saw a large, dark figure between the trees. The movement itself caught me off guard, as it looked like it was something big, moving quickly on all fours. Then when it came out into the clear view, it stood up and walked like a man. At first, I didn't know what to make of it. It was very tall, but what was strange about it was the distance it was covering, and the fact that when it was in front of the shed, I swear I could see through it. It was clearly walking, but moving faster than any normal person could at a sprint. More importantly, there was no sound. It was almost like it was phasing in and out of reality as it moved. What the hell is that? I realized that it was looking now directly at us. It had moved at an angle away from us to minimize its time out in the open, and moving as quickly as it could, all while still being silent. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up as I realized that whatever it was definitely stalking us. I told my niece, "Get in the house now." I grabbed my son and booked it inside. I grabbed my AR with the short scope, and came back outside to see my niece still grabbing stuff out of the car. Knowing I had just told her firmly to get into the house, her blatant disregard to my command annoyed me, but I still watched over her without saying a word. As she was slowly walking, she turned towards the woods across the street from my house and suddenly bolted. She ran up the steps in a panic state. Later on, I asked her what she saw, and her face was pale as a ghost. She said, "I heard something big in the woods, walking loudly on the leaves, and when I turned toward it, I heard a deep guttural growl." I asked her why she didn't come when I told her to, and she said she thought I was just talking to my son. I then told her what I had saw, and now she wanted to get a closer look at it, to see if she could actually see something. I told her it was not a good idea, and stupidly, she went anyway. She was walking down the walkway. I heard the sound of dry leaves and crunching in the woods across the street. I told her to stop and at least take a flashlight. Now, at this point, she is maybe 6 feet away from my wife's SUV. She turned and started walking back to me, and I caught a glimpse of something gray and hairy bolt from behind the SUV back across the street into the woods. My porch is raised up, and our SUV is about 6.5 feet tall. Whatever this was, cleared about 45 feet in what looked like a single jump. It moved like lightning. Whatever it was wanted my niece. It jumped behind the car out of my line of sight and was waiting for her. She still doubted my warnings, grabbed the flashlight and walked back toward the car. As she entered my driveway, she stopped dead in her tracks, leaned forward as if she could see something, and I asked her, "What do you see?" She quickly turned and ran back up the porch with a terrified look, saying, "Nope, nope, nope," over and over again. She said it was like a figure hiding inside of a tree, and said she saw some eyes. I asked her what they looked like, and all she could say was they looked dull red at first, but as she got closer, they looked dead. I asked her what she meant by dead. She told me that the pupils looked like they were gray, like the way eyes look when they go blind. She said it was really dark gray, and swears she could see through it, almost like a cloud. I told her to get inside and went and locked the door. The next morning, we did a height comparison to the tree limb she saw it stand over, and it put its height around 9 feet tall, and its eyes were about 6 inches apart. I have no idea what this thing was. After doing a little bit of research, I think this thing was a glimmer man or a crawler. I looked to see if there had been any other sightings in Benton County, but nothing. More importantly, I swear it would phase in and out, almost like a shadow person, but bigger and more obvious. Now, I originally posted this in r/Bigfoot, but after doing a bunch of research, I believe this thing belongs here. One of the things that makes this fit is that it can communicate telepathically. This explains why everyone was hearing something that nobody else could hear. Secondly, it has a playback-like communication. So when I heard a dog panting, it was probably one of my dogs it had heard. My wife was actually hearing our son crying for help, as he had recently fell and cried for help then. The baby crying would be our newborn baby, who she'd given birth to just recently. And this thing must have heard me call my wife's name and kept telepathically calling my wife's name with my voice to her. Another thing that my niece had said that night was she felt compelled to go back outside to it. She said it felt like this thing was communicating with her somehow and kept wanting her to go back outside. The more I read about this thing, the more everything that's been happening over this past year makes sense. One thing that I find extra convincing is that down the road towards the lake, there is a property that is barbed wired off and has a wall of forest with no driveway. A lot of the property down the road is underdeveloped owned land, and one of the trees there has a large old sign that says, "Screamer lives here," with an arrow pointing back into the woods. Now I have to admit, when I first saw this sign, I laughed, thinking maybe the owner screamed at trespassers who entered his property, and then teenagers put up the sign to mess with him. But when I did a satellite search of our neighborhood, that entire section of road has no houses or trails or anything. It's just pure forest as far as the eye can see. One of the things that this thing is said to do is make a loud scream when threatened. Now that you understand my story, I doubt that this is the ending. The next question is, what can we do? I don't want my wife or kids to disappear one day. And if there's more than one of these things out there, this really does make the missing 411 stuff make a whole lot more sense. I'm completely perplexed and scared of what I can do. Any advice would be appreciated. I'll try and keep this post alive with any new experiences.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been an avid camper most of my life. More than that, I actually lived in the Wyoming wilderness for almost 2 years as a child in a house on a nature preserve. A place where electricity was only available by generator, and we had to boil water that me and my siblings carried up from the creek. All of this before I was even 10 years old. If there were emergencies, it would at least be an hour before we could get to help or help could get to us. I've hunted dangerous game. I'm not actually proud of it, but it happened. And I've seen some weird stuff in the desert. So when I say that I will not venture into the woods of the Cascadia mountain range alone, it's important to know that the wilderness doesn't frighten me easily. I was 23 years old when a friend of mine, we'll call him Darren, all names are altered, invited me to a camping trip. The site was a place a few miles up a logging road. So, about an hour-long hike from an already back-road-as-F back road. It was just me, Darren, and his good friend Wade. Place was, from the logging road, about 10 minutes down a trail. The moment we got to the site, I was excited. The small lake was beautiful, barely touched by people over the years. It also comforted me somewhat when we got there, to see that within the last month at least somebody else had camped out there. Extra wood by the fire pit. We ate a bunch of chili and hot dogs, but around dusk, the guys went off into the woods and came back with a sealed bucket they had buried the years before, and we opened it up to get into some MREs they stowed in their cache. It was looking to be one of the better camping trips I've had in my adult life. That night was a bit different. For the first time in my life, I felt an uneasiness sleeping in my tent. I couldn't quite place it. Chalked it up to not being used to camping without my dad. Darren brought his .38 special for protection from predators, but he was the only one armed. The next day it rained, and we tried to wait it out, but eventually called it quits, packed up and went home. Fast forward to the next year. Me and Darren get the itch to go camping again, and I wanted to give the site another shot. I spent a great deal of effort convincing a bunch of my friends to tag along. In the end, it wound up being six of us and a big white German Shepherd. Me, Darren, Wade, James, Charles and Rita, James's girlfriend, and Moogie, the dog. Knowing about the uneasiness I felt the last time, I brought my 12-gauge. James wanted to get some unregulated target practice in, shooting stuff they don't allow at official gun ranges, like full cans and gallon jugs. We also brought a quad up with us this time, so we could haul a bunch of extra water, booze, and other supplies to make our weekend more comfortable. First day, as we're setting up, we hear a loudspeaker playing some music over by the south end of the lake, which was basically right next to the logging road, and this year could be seen from the road unlike the year prior. So, deciding we're big dick Americans, me and James sauntered down to meet the source of the noise pollution. Now, I have to commend the coolness of the cop that was just having a fishing trip when two large armed men, me with a 12-gauge, James with his .308, emerged from the tree line. We introduced ourselves, mentioned the others, but not exactly where we were camping, just that it was nearby. That's when shit started to get creepy. It could have just been cops doing cop stuff, but this guy really wanted to know exactly where we were going to be. Then he mentioned his favorite spots nearby and really, really wanted us to try this other spot 2 more miles down the logging road. At a point, it was almost like he was suggesting that was the only spot where we wouldn't be in trouble. Darren showed up finally, told us that he spoke to the landowners several years ago and they were fine with us being there. Cop was mad, but we lied and said we'd check out the site he was pushing. None of us trusted the guy when we left, so we decided not to. It was like a horror movie setup. The whole shady cop tells us to go to the spot where his hillbilly friends are going to kidnap us kind of vibe. So we move on. Pretty early in the day, so we set up our stuff, get a fire going, float around on a giant 4-person inflatable chair boat thing. Biggest highlight of the day? Charles cut down an entire dead tree with nothing but a small axe, like the midway point between a hatchet and a fireman's axe. An impressive feat of stamina and strength. It was a good day leading to a good night. But right after it got dark, I felt uneasy again. The first thing that worried me was a couple of us heard something big splash into the far side of the lake. We thought maybe it was Moogie, but he was by the fire, his head now perked up and looking in the direction of the splash. Since we were drunk, we thought maybe the floaty thing might be compromised, so we went down with our flashlights to pull it out of the water and onto the bank. Then we heard the owl. James, Wade, and Darren were already passed out by midnight. Rita was humming along by the fireplace with Moogie, and me and James were out getting some more wood so the fire would last. We heard an owl start up its hooting, a cadence I was familiar with in the area, but something was off about it. I have a gift for mimicking bird noises, so what I noticed immediately is the ending hoot was off. Almost always sounds like the owl is rolling its R's as that final hoot of the sequence goes. James, not nearly as outdoorsy as me, says, "That almost just sounds like a person." We joke, listen to it a couple more times. Then I do my own attempt at an owl noise. Silence. For a few minutes. Just as I'm thinking that makes sense because of the noise, it starts up again. But not just one owl. Another started up about half a second after the first. The new owl sounded more like an actual owl than the first one that seemed to have started up again. And after the first hoot from the real owl, the fake one stopped short. "Did that owl just tell the other owl to shut up?" James says to me. I decide to shout, "Better listen to your wife, dude." Immediately after I shout, we both hear a loud crashing, almost identical to the sound of the tree falling that Charles did earlier that day. Moogie starts to go berserk, barking and growling. He had a stink gland issue at this point still, so he was releasing that nastiness as well. He was threatened, and luckily Rita was there to keep him from bolting. Big as he was, if he really wanted to move, she wouldn't be much of an obstacle. I'm about to shit my pants out of fear. I will reiterate for effect. I've hunted mountain lions and bears in my life, and at no point during those hunts was I as shaken and genuinely afraid as this. I was paralyzed for like an entire minute. "Whoever that is, you better fuck off. We have plenty of guns," I shout across the lake. Then silence again. Luckily, for the rest of the night, I didn't fall asleep until Darren woke up, basically at sunrise. So I missed breakfast and a morning dunk in the lake the others all did before I got up needing to poo real bad. James had already explained the noises to the others by the time we all were ready for our different adventures. Darren, Wade and Rita just wanted to listen to the radio and chill. Moogie had run off just after lunch and we decided to go look for him while also investigating the area of the noises last night. Almost immediately, when we get to the other side of the lake, the hair stands up on the back of my neck. Charles also feels creeped out, but he had an axe. I had a shotgun, and James had his rifle and his .45 holstered on his hip. So we pressed onward, looking for probably a couple of hours. I was mainly trying to see if we could spot any trees that had fallen. Then we made it to the eastern bank of the lake. We were camped on the western side. "Holy shit," Charles says, causing me and James to come rushing over. There, we saw what looked like a human footprint. Just one, but it was very clearly a footprint in the mud, even had a little pool of water still in it. My first thought was Bigfoot, so I took off my boot and compared sizes. I'm a huge guy with pretty large feet, so it wasn't a surprise that my clodhoppers dwarfed this footprint when I put my own print down next to it. But what was weird was the other print. Where the pinky toe would be, it looked like another big toe was there instead. We also found several downed trees.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
None that looked recent. So we decided to go around the north of the lake and back to the others, doing a full circle. Moogie was fine. As soon as food smells filled the air, he came running back. And we all had a pretty good day again. Drinking, feasting, and making fun of each other for being paranoid. We heard some gunshots a little close, and then we called out to warn the shooters that there were people and animals nearby. The shooters of us actually went to meet the people, and all of us but Darren and Wade joined the old guy and his wife shooting at whatever we could. Part of me consciously thought, anything that was lurking around sure as hell isn't now. Boy, was I wrong. A brief mention about Charles. Ever since we were kids, Charles has had vivid night terrors. Most of the time, funny. Some of the time, scary. He'd full-on sleepwalk and have conversations with you while still asleep. We had all gone to bed. I was one of the first, due to getting like 4 hours of sleep and being quite rum drunk. Hey, who's that? Captain, stay in your tent. Charles, who was sleeping on a tarp by the fire instead of a tent, started shouting. I shot up, grabbed the shotgun, and turned on my flashlight. What's wrong? I shout, adrenaline filling my entire existence. I could feel my heartbeat pounding in my ears. Come closer to the fire. No, don't crouch down. Use your words. He keeps shouting, finally stirring awake James and Rita, who were in a tent closest to Charles. What the hell? James calls out. Mookie starts growling, and apparently let off the stink gland again in their tent because him and Rita are like, oh, Moo, gross. There's somebody sneaking up in Captain's tent. Get out here. I start to unzip my tent. Not you, Captain. Stay in there. He's right next to you. Everybody else, to this day, denies hearing this. But I swear, I heard something whisper, Captain, before hearing a twig crunch right outside my tent. James makes it out of his tent, and seconds later, I hear him laughing. It's just the water stump. Charles is just having a night terror. Charles claims he wasn't dreaming, but when I got out and shined the light on the stump, he agreed that that had to be it. We put one of those big jugs of water on top of a stump. It could easily be mistaken for a white shirt standing in the dark. Satisfied that there wasn't actually anything there, despite my protests, we all went back to bed. Charles stayed in the tent for the rest of the night. I decided to spend the rest of the night on watch. That was one of, if not the most, terrifying nights of my life. I heard more activity in those woods than I had ever heard before. Moogie would wake up and boof multiple times as I'd hear twigs snapping off in the trees. Then I heard a really big snap that had to have only been about 10 feet away. I jumped to my feet, whipped over to where the noise was, and shined my light. I've seen enough deer ass in my life to know what I saw running from me. What is not normal of deer, however, is they don't stand up and run on their back legs. Moogie howled and snarled. I took aim, letting my light drop, and fired. I didn't care that it turned to run. I unloaded, boom after boom after boom, until I ran out of all 6 shells I had loaded. Everyone else was freaking out and rushed out of their tents. I told them what happened, and nobody went back to bed until the morning. Nothing else happened that night. I think Mookie refusing to leave the tent was what allowed the others to take me seriously enough. He was a brave dog, sweet, but if mean dogs messed with him at the park, he knew how to throw down. The last thing that happened on that last day, Darren and Wade went to bury the bucket after putting some fresh new supplies in it. They'd always known where the cache was buried because there was a stump that they used as a landmark. That stump was just gone. It was there when we retrieved the cache 2 days prior, but now it was vanished. No signs of it being uprooted, dragged, or disturbed. It simply was as though it never existed. We all thought we made a mistake until we found the hole for the bucket, still dug and with the little poncho stuffed in it. Well, I'm never coming back here now, so we may as well take this with us, Darren said, and we all left after lunch. That is why I will never even go hiking the Cascade Wilderness without a firearm and at least 2 other people who know how to use them.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.